Happy Sunday. Happy Sunday, church. Hey, can we all stand up? My name is Miles. I'm the pastor of the Rock Church. Welcome to church today. Amen. I want to say hello to all our campuses and everybody watching online. Let's lift up our hands and get a good breath in. On the count of three, take a deep breath. One, two, three. One more. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you for breath. Thank you for life. Thank you that we can be here today. We pray for our country. We pray for the shooting that happened today yesterday at the wedding. Just all the violence in our world. And we just pray that we can be a light. Use today to restore us and encourage us. In Jesus' name, amen. Give someone a hug next to you. Give someone a hug. And let me say, if I ever say give someone a hug and you look next to somebody and you don't want to hug them, just do that. When I was a youth pastor, I was doing a Wednesday night service at a church called Horizon here in town. And I said, everybody has stood up. And I said, hey, turn around and say hi to somebody. Introduce yourself. And this guy turns around, says to this girl, he says, my name is Dan. She says, my name is Ann. And they've been married for like 40 years or something. It's a crazy mess. Amen. So, turn around and say, no, I'm kidding. First, I want to tell you, I love all of you, and I know that all, if not most, if not all of you have been entangled in some drama related to the church and myself, and I want to apologize to you for putting you in a position where you had to hear that, and that you had to at least be asked questions. Maybe you didn't even know how to respond because you didn't have the information. That breaks my heart because my job is here to encourage you and to build you up spiritually and encourage your ability to walk with God. So I want to say sorry, that breaks my heart that you had to be dragged into that, and our staff as well. We spent so many hours this week responding and trying to deal with it. And to all the people who posted negative things about me, you know, I'm praying for you. I love you. Got no animosity towards you. That's between you and God. But I'm praying for you that God would restore his peace in your life. I've been writing my comments for today over and over again. And this morning I got up and added this. God started speaking to me at 4 o'clock this morning. It brought me to the story of Lazarus. Lazarus was, he died and was buried and was in the tomb like 4 days. And Jesus came and resurrected him. And I always think, what did Lazarus think and how did he view life after his resurrection? Because once you die and you come back, I would imagine you have a different perspective on life. You know, I was canceled. I'm being canceled right now by the people who love Charlie Kirk and you know, honor him for all the great things he did. And he's done a lot of great things. And the people who don't like Charlie Kirk, people who have been offended by it. And I get that, you know, there's some things that I was offended by. And God says, and I went to God, I said, God, you know, what's up? Is this the end? You know, what do you want me to do? He says, oh, don't worry. He says, listen, all that stuff you're hearing is not from me. It's from the devil. But I want you to know. So, but God, you know, did I mess up? He said, well, I'm not saying you didn't mess up. But it's the real question is, this is God to me. Did you trust me when you were in the tomb, when you were going through the fire? Did you trust me? Did you respond? Did you panic? Did you think I left you? Did you think that I wasn't going to be faithful to you? Because you're going to go through fire for the rest of your life. As you know, you've been through 8 billion fires, and all of us have been through trials. Can I get amen? But the question is not whether you do go through it, whether you make a mistake or not, or whether you disappoint people because they just had a different expectation. There's so many different reasons we go through stuff. But the question is, do you trust God when you're in it? And part of trusting God when you're in it is responding in a way that's God-honoring. And so he had asked me that, and then that'd be my question to all of us. In this situation, in in future situations, when you go through something, are you responding in a way that honors God? And so that would be my challenge to myself, and my challenge to you as well. Think about your conversations, and if you posted something and what you said, not only about me in the church, but other people. People might have lashed out at you, and then you lashed back out. No. No, that's not on our agenda. Our mandate is to always love, no matter what. We can't control what other people do, but what we do, when I say we, the people of God, is we have to love people and forgive people no matter what they do. Can I get amen? And so I said, God, you know, what do you want me to say today? He said, well, first thing I want you to do is tell people I love them. And every single one of you, God loves you very much. Tell them to trust me. You're going to read stuff, hear stuff, and you can't believe half of it. Don't buy it. Don't take it fish, hook, line, and sinker. Trust God. Obey God only. Worship God only. There is a place in our heart that only God can fill. You can give your loyalty to different things, but only give your heart to God. And we get confused when we start putting other things on the same level as God is on, and it's supposed to be on in our heart. And so I want to encourage you, rest in his faithfulness in your life. Remember never to forget to serve him and him only, and he's going to do amazing things in your life. And so again, my apologies to you for putting you in that situation. Can I get amen? Amen. Before I get into my message, let me address a few things. First is, let me emphatically say, as I said online, that Charlie Kirk's assassination was evil, that it was not right, it was not justified. And whether you're on the left or the right, whether you like him or not, it's still wrong. And we condemn it and condemn any celebration of his death as a statement. Come on, church. You know, I expressed that on an Instagram post the day it happened. And then the next, in a written statement, then the next day I was like, you know what? I need to say something. So I made a video condemning it, asking people to pray for his wife, asking people to pray for the young lady who got stabbed on the train. The kids in the school, there was a school shooting, I believe that same day, the 11th, I think it was. And then we had two videos, two posts. And the first post was getting a lot of infighting, people fighting with each other. So we decided, look, we have this video, let's take the other one down because people were just fighting with each other. It had nothing to do with disparaging him because I already had a video up saying, praying for his wife. So I know that caused a lot of stress for people, a lot of angst. Why'd you take it down? Well, to me, it was to avoid the fighting. I had another video up, so I was already felt covered there because we're already talking about it. So I apologize that disturbs you. The other thing was Sunday. Last Sunday was my 44th anniversary. My wife and I were away. Amen. I was not here, and we did not provide proper ministry to you as you came to church that day expecting and needing some ministry, and I apologize for not ensuring that you didn't get the ministry you needed. Travis is usually here. He was sick, lost his voice. Allison spoke. I think she did a great job. Ironically enough, Allison's father died 2 days ago. And she was here today with her mom, Mama Mercer, as they call her. Everyone say Mama Mercer. So she was here. But, you know, what happened that day was on me. So I have to own that, and I do own that, and I apologize for you not getting what you needed that day. And finally, there's been some people who have said that, why aren't you giving all the effort you gave to George Floyd 5 years ago and as you are today? I said, well, let me explain it to you. George Floyd was killed in 2020. In 2016 or so, I started writing a book called The Third Option, which was designed to address the racial tension in the world based on the Bible. The first two options are us versus them. The third option is that we honor what we have in common, which is the image of God in every human on the planet. And so I wrote this book, and we did it small groups. We did 6-week sermon series developed. Then we ended up developing a training for schools and churches and police departments on how to honor each other. It's called similarity training. Right now you might have heard DEI training. This is kind of similar, but in an opposite perspective and focus on that we're more have more in common than different. We call it similarity training. Well, that book and that curriculum was in churches, at police departments, and schools, and it was helping give biblical language to the racial tension in the world. And then after all that, George Floyd was killed, and the world blew up. And guess who they were calling? They were calling me. TMZ, Fox, CNN, ABC, I was on with Anderson Cooper, and he was like, I want to come to your church. And the point was that I was there talking about a biblical response to the racial tension. I was talking about the police. My dad was a cop. My son is a cop. And I was like, you can't throw away all the cops because they're people, and they're all made in the image of God. So I probably did 100 interviews about that. It wasn't for George Floyd. It was for our country. It was for the Bible. And so that was the difference. Now, ironically, here we have now, since Charlie Kirk was killed, people saying, I want to be bold and share my faith. Well, guess what? About 2 years ago, we started a training called Just One. And we have that available for you, very timely, how God does that. And so if you want to share your faith and be bold, which I would encourage you to do, just go to text Next Steps to 52525. We have some services. We have Tuesday night meetings for y'all, family groups. And then we have the Just One training you could take. But we want to help you in your next steps in your faith. So today I'm going to talk about truth and tension. Next week we're going to talk about dealing with the anger and frustration. And then in 2 weeks from now, we're going to talk about how you can have conversations with people you don't agree with. How many of y'all got people that you don't agree with online and people posting? Look at that. This is what the devil's doing. And as believers, we have to have a code in how we respond, how we deal with criticism, how we deal with people who do things we don't like. Because sometimes what you don't like is not the right thing. So we have to always say, God, what is it that you want me to do? So we're going to talk about how to deal with people, how to talk to people who don't agree with you. And then lastly, how to be bold in your faith. As a side note, there's a man named Van Jones, who is an African-American political commentator on CNN. I believe he worked in the Obama administration. And him and Charlie Kirk have been going at it. And what I'm telling you is online, so please go look it up, because I may say it wrong. And they've been going at it, didn't like each other. I shouldn't say that. They've been combative, very combative. And as Van Jones says this week, they've had a lot of beef. And the day before Charlie Kirk died, Charlie Kirk texted him and said, hey, why don't you come on my show and we can talk and just be gentlemen and disagree, gentlemanlike. And well, Van Jones didn't see that till after he was killed. And I saw today, 5 o'clock in the morning, the interview with Van Jones and Anderson Cooper of Van Jones talking about this. And he's posted it many places. He's been interviewed. And basically what he was saying was, this guy is not the guy that is the guy that he's described. I would have you watch it, so I don't want to put words in his mouth. But he's basically saying he was reaching out so we can have civil conversation. We all need to have civil conversation. And when people start hating on people, whoever, let's not be part of that. Just don't be part of that. That's not in our Bible. We need to love people. The Bible says love your enemies. And so I would encourage you, even if people are saying hateful things about me, you, the church, don't reciprocate with hate. Please never. Just be loving and forgiving and let God take care of it, and the chips will fall where they fall. Can I get an amen? Let's give the Lord a hand. Come on, Chuck. Okay. Now, turn to Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. Whenever you go to a doctor, a heart surgeon for heart surgery, you go into the hospital with the hope that this doctor is going to do something in your life that you cannot do. That this doctor has skills you don't have and expertise you don't have, and he's going to perform surgery on you to help you, a surgery that you can't perform to give you a benefit you cannot get for yourself. The reason we come to church is to be in the presence of God, a God who can do something we can't do for ourselves. Can I get amen? And when you come to church, you should bring all your angst, all your frustration, your anger. Don't say, I'm going to leave that at home and go there and try to put on a happy face. No, bring it here. This is where you want to bring it. But you want to bring it and say, God, I'm bringing, matter of fact, when you get out the car, when you get off the bus, whatever, say, God, I'm bringing all my junk to you today. Can you deal with it? Because he says, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. And so we're here today saying, Lord, can you heal what's been happening in our church, in our community, in our country, because our country is very divided. And I want to start out with a story in Joshua chapter 5, where Joshua, who took over for Moses, is leading the Israelites into the promised land. There's 2 million Jews. They've been walking for 40 years in the wilderness, and they get ready to go into the promised land, and he's going to be confronted by the angel of the Lord or Jesus in the Old Testament. And understand this, they've been walking for 40 years, but the trip from Mount Sinai to the promised land was 11 days. I want you to know what I'm telling you. They could have made the trip in 11 days. They made it, well, 11 days, it took them 2 years to get to the other one. So they could have made a trip from 11 days from Mount Sinai, 11 days, but they walked 40 years because they wouldn't obey God. I'm telling you, some of us in this room, and I'll put myself included, we've been walking around for 40 years in the wilderness because we haven't obeyed God. You're not where, there's this little voice in you going, man, I should be doing that, I should be, and there's a little voice that's whispering to you, trust me. I remember when I first met my wife, and we weren't saved, and I was just doing stuff I shouldn't be doing. And this little voice kept telling me, literally hundreds of times, whenever you are ready, I'm gonna get you out of that lifestyle and you're gonna marry that girl. He would tell me all the time. I was like, oh man, I know God. And it was true. And we've been married 41 years. And so I'm telling you, so here's Joshua leading the Israelites into the promised land. And right before he gets to the promised land, he's getting ready to go conquer the first city. He is confronted by the commander of the Lord's army, and he says to him, asks him a question. And the question that he asked him, I want to propose to us. And not only to us at the Rock Church, to our city, to our country. It's a very profound, very simple, simple question. Look what it says. It says, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, are you for us or our adversaries? Everyone say us. Say them. This is the question in our culture. It's us versus them. Now, notice what Joshua says. You have us, these are all the people with me, and everybody else is my enemy. In our country, in our mindset, if you don't believe what I believe, you're my enemy. If you don't watch the news station I watch, you're my enemy. If you don't vote for who I vote for, you're not my enemy. At least, and I'm saying we all say that, but there's such a contention right now. And attention that the devil's trying to pull us apart to pit each other against other people. And by the way, it used to be where I'm right, you're wrong. Now it's I'm good, you're bad. And if I'm good, I deserve something you don't deserve. We justify in our mind that because you're bad, because you believe that, you're bad, you don't deserve this. This is not people, this is the devil getting in our head. And so here's Joshua having this conversation, and he says to the Lord, are you on our side or our enemy side? And the enemies were the Amalekites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Jebusites. They had pagan worship, the pagan gods. They were sacrificing their kids. They had sexual perversion, all kind of stuff. And so you would think God would say, of course, I'm on your side. You are my people. But look at what God said. It says, are you on our side or our enemy side, adversary? And he said, no. Everyone say no. He said, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said, what does my Lord say to his servant? And the commander of the Lord's army said, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy ground. And Joshua did so. Here's what God said. Joshua, I'm not on your side. Matter of fact, the reason that you've been walking for 40 years is because I've been against you because you didn't obey me. Whether you're Democrat or Republican, God's not on your side. Whether you're black or white, God's not on your side. Whether you're rich or poor, God's not on your side. He's not on any of our sides. We're supposed to be on his side. God's like, this whole promised land thing is my idea. This whole conquer your enemy thing and clear it out for my people, that's my thing. This whole unity thing in our country is God's idea. And we can only do it God's way. This whole church thing, it's God's idea. We can't do it any other way. And so we have to get in our mind and say, look, this is not about us. Say it's not about me. It's not about us. It's about how do we accomplish what God wants us to accomplish God's way in God's timing. Before I pray, because we're going to get on our knees here in a minute and pray, so just prepare yourself because you got to kneel on the concrete for a few minutes. But before I pray, I want to remind us we are in the hospital asking the doctor to change our heart. We're not in the hospital saying, I could do this myself. You wouldn't be in the hospital. You didn't have to go. We're telling God, God, can you change our hearts? Whatever side you're on and all the gossip online about whatever, people attacking you, you attacking them, get off that train and say, Lord, I want to do this your way because I want to go into the promised land quicker. I don't want to walk around for 40 years. So I would tell you this last challenge before we pray, don't run. What I mean by that is don't leave church. Engage more. The benefit that we have in this church is we have people from all walks of life. We got people on the far your left, on the people on the far right, then we got people that don't even know what that means. And guess what? God loves all of y'all. And God, but here's what God's saying. God's like, you're over here fighting this way. He says, don't be an activist about your for your point of view. I want you to be prophetic. And I want you to come rise up to a whole nother level. And this is God talking, which is my way. This is not about me making you right or me making you right. It's about y'all both laying down your axes to fight each other and come up here and watch me show you that you're each other's brother. There was a guy who was hunting one day and he was out in the woods and he saw this monster, you know, 100 yards away and he wanted to shoot the monster. And the monster jumped behind a tree and he couldn't shoot him. Then the monster went over here and jumped behind another tree and he couldn't shoot him. And the monster, and he kept getting closer and closer and he kept jumping behind a tree, jumping behind a rock, getting in a hole. And next thing you know, the monster was right next to him and he realized it's not a monster, it's my brother. Do you know that you guys have brothers just sitting next to you that you're scared of? That you don't even know? That have resources and ideas and experiences that would benefit you? That you've been told by the enemy, that's the other, that's my adversary? If we can realize that we are our family and we really are our family, that we can get the dysfunction out of our family by aspiring to obey God. So let's get on our knees. Can we get on our knees? Come on, come on, come on. Now, I am very aware that you are kneeling on concrete. And I am not, so I'll make this quick. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness and we come before you humble and say, forgive us. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Please repeat after me, say, dear God, we are humbly kneeling before you. You've called us to love one another. But everywhere we look, we see hate. You've called us to be one, but we are divided. You've called us to consider one another better than ourselves. But constantly we tear each other down. You called us to speak life, but so many shout death. Lord, I humble myself. I ask you for forgiveness. Please give me a pure heart. Prepare my heart for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Create in me a clean heart. I need a shift to take place in the spiritual realm. Open the door of my heart. Fill it with the Holy Spirit. Remove my heart of stone. Put in a heart of flesh. Holy Spirit, fall fresh on me right now, God. Right now, God. I am waiting. I am asking. I am begging, God. I need you. We need you. Take over my life. Heal our land. Heal our church. Heal our city. Move, God. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, church. Come on. In a few minutes, I just want to challenge you in three very simple things, and I'm going to ask you to repeat these after me. Say, I must deny myself. pick up my cross and follow you. My wife and I have been married 41 years, and when we got married, God made two into one. The number of division is two. The number of unity is one. And what God did is he took two people, united us as one. When you ask Christ to come into your heart, you become part of the body of the bride of Christ, the body of Christ. And God takes all of us to make us one. And then he's united with us as one. He's not only united with you, he's united with us. God wants all of us to be one. John 17, 20, 21. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. Everyone say one. As you, Father, and I are in me, and I in you, that they may also be one. Say one. In us, that the world may believe that you sent me. God is going to reveal the fact and make it plain that he was sent by the Father when we are one. In other words, if Christianity don't work, if it works, we should be one. We should be transformed, one with him and then one with each other. What the devil's doing is getting into church and dividing us up to make us two, three, four, five, six, seven. And God says, I need to make you one. Well, how's that going to happen? By loving God. The Bible says in Matthew 22, 37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and love your neighbor as yourself. We are not going to be good Christians by thinking better, trying harder. We are going to be better Christians when we lay our life down at the foot of the cross and love God with our heart, mind, and soul and love each other as ourselves. That is the mandate from the word of God, that we love each other. No matter who's hating on you, you got to love them. The Bible says you shall love your enemies. You say, you heard it said, you shall love your friends and hate your enemies. God says, I tell you, love your enemies, even those who spitefully use you. Forgive them. Speak kindly of them. Speak kindly to them. That is our mandate. So when people start hating on you, we have no other mandate, no other response but to love them. Now, doesn't mean you got to sit there and take it and let them beat you in the face. Doesn't mean you got to be their best friend and be around them. It doesn't even mean you have to agree with what they do. By the way, love doesn't mean that you agree with them. Love means that you are going to give God, your God, best that they see who Jesus Christ is and that they can understand who he is in their life. And so that's our mandate. So I'm going to give you three simple steps based on Luke 9:23. If anyone desires to come after me, this is Jesus talking. If anyone desires to come after me, we are here because we want to come after Jesus. We want to follow him. We want to be like him. That's why we're here. So if you want to come after me, look what it says. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. No, God, I want money. I want to try to get paid. I'm gonna pray, and then I'm going to get paid. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to get a woman. No. It's the opposite. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to get my way. I'm going to go to church, and I'm going to say what I want to say. No. It's the opposite. Deny yourself. This image is Jesus on the cross. When Jesus was on the cross, he was saying, this is what love looks like. This is what love looks like. Dying to yourself. So number one, self-sacrificial love, say no to yourself. I want you to think, every time you want to do something, I want you to say, okay, boss, stop. Don't do that yet. Check in with the boss. So I talk to my wife. Then I talk to God. My wife is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then I got to talk to God. No, I'm only kidding. Luke 22:42. Father, if it is your will, this is Jesus talking. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not I, my will be done, but your will be done. Our mandate is not my will, but God's will be done. Deny yourself. This is not about you doing what you want. It's not about you getting what you want. It's not about you responding the way you want. It's not about you complaining because you didn't get what you want. It's about you saying no to yourself and say, God, what do you want? If you could have that as your mandate, part of your mandate, is that you can take self out of the picture, because our flesh is sinful, prideful, arrogant, selfish. God, I'm dying to my flesh. I need to just deny myself. I need to make sure that I understand that my daughter's doing this training, and it talks about how 95% of the things you do comes from the subconscious. You don't even know it. You don't even know why you're doing what you're doing. It's crazy how we just need to crucify the flesh and say, Lord, I trust you. Look at number two. Number two is suffering love. Lay down your life. Lay your life down. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. When Jesus was crucified on the cross, guess what? He said, Father, I don't want to go to the cross, but not my will, your will be done. And the Father said, you got to go to the cross. He said, okay. He went to the cross, got nailed to the cross, and guess what? He never came down till after he died. When you say no to yourself, don't say no to yourself today and yes to yourself tomorrow. I'm not going to gossip anymore. And then tomorrow, you're like, guess what I heard? And when you get that urge, just go, and walk away. The story in Genesis, Joseph was serving a guy named Potiphar, and his wife was trying to get with him. She's like, Joe. I want you. And Joe's like, look, you're married to my boss. This ain't going to happen. Okay, back up. And next day, Joe. And she cornered him in a room, grabbed him, and he ran out of his clothes. I mean, not all of his clothes, but it's like, you know, he had like a snap button like that, and it snapped off, and he just kept running. And she said, look, he tried to seduce me. And Joseph got put in prison. But he ran, like Forrest, he ran. When you get tempted to come off the cross, stop. Run from that temptation. You got to deny yourself. Take up your cross and allow yourself to be nailed there. And then lastly, do what God says. It says, redemptive love. Do what God says. What he does. 1 John 5:3. For this is love of God, that we keep his commandments. I've told you this once, I've told you this 1,000 times. To love God means to feel good about him. To do what he wants you to do when it feels good. Love God means to do what he says. You could say you love God all you want, but if you don't do what he says, you don't love God. Those two, disobedience and love for God can't coexist. Here's what God said. I am here to seek and save the lost. Are you seeking and saving the lost? Or are you beating the lost down? If you follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Are you fishing for men? I talk about it all the time. Go share your faith. We got the Just One training. Go to lovejustone.com. It's right there. It's free. And so not only are we I'm going to say no to myself. Lord, it's not about me. I'm going to be nailed to the cross. God, whatever you want me to do. And he's going to say, guess what I want you to do? I want you to obey me and do what I do. That's what he's called us to do. In a minute, we're going to take communion. And in communion, we're going to have a moment where you would pray for a breakthrough so you can be more obedient to God. Please do not waste this season of pain, of this tension. Take advantage of all the drama that's happening and all that the devil's meaning for good, bad, and turn it into something good. Where you can practice loving people who don't love you, praying for people who are talking behind your back or calling you out online. I can't even keep up with all the criticisms I got. But I pray for them. And I'm like, Lord, just make me more like you. Make me more like you. Make me more like you. That's what your responsibility is. It's not about being fair. Let me tell you something. If my life was fair, I would be dead in hell. We don't deserve anything. The Bible says the penalty of sin is death. I got sin, so I should be dead. But God in his love disciplines those he loves. And if we allow God to turn what the devil meant for evil into something good in our life by obeying him, by denying ourselves, putting ourselves on the cross and following him, then your light will shine bright like a lighthouse on a hill. And so in a minute, we're going to take communion. But here's what I want you to be thinking about. I want you to be thinking about, man, if you could have a breakthrough where the Spirit of God was just flowing in your life, give you power, love, forgiveness, freedom from something, healing, that you would say, God, I want that today. I want that today. And the next few weeks, as we talk about all these issues, about you sharing your faith, being bold to share your faith, or how to talk to people, that you disagree with. What a powerful tool you're going to get, how to talk to somebody who don't agree with you. And it's going to be so powerful, you're going to want to look for people who don't agree with you, just so you could do it. You can say, hey, do you think this? Oh, you don't agree? You agree with me? I don't want to talk to you. But let me find someone who don't agree with me. Because the devil has us thinking this is a horrible thing, and it's not. That God has given us, we're supposed to walk in victory. Can I get amen? And so I want you to take your cup out, your communion cup. And before you take this, this is something that I would ask you to make sure that Jesus is your Savior before you take this. You just keep your hand up. We got some over here. If you don't have a cup, put your hand up. Well, I want you to think about, if you don't have Christ in your life, that we want to give you opportunity to ask Christ to be your Savior before you take this. So just in a minute, after they pass all the buckets out. So I'm going to ask all of you to keep your hands up. Keep your hands up if you need a communion cup. I'm going to have everybody pray, but if you don't have a cup, keep your hands up and they'll get it to you. If you have never asked Christ to be your Savior, I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that before you take communion. If you do not ask Christ to be your Savior, don't take communion. Because all you're saying is, God, I know you died for me, but I reject you. You don't want that. This is not going to save your soul. Lord, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. And as our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you want to ask Jesus to be your Savior, I want you to pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. It's a prayer of faith, asking him to forgive you of your sin. In the privacy of your heart, pray, dear God, I believe Jesus loves me. I believe that he died and rose from the dead for my sin. Jesus, please forgive me. Come live in my heart and be my Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I want to be born again. If you prayed that prayer to ask Christ to be your Savior, just slip your hand up really high. I can see you. God bless 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 you. You can put your hands down. God, thank you for those people. And thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. For all you people, raise your hand. At the end of the service, we'll tell you what you can do so we can help you in your next step. Amen. I want you to take this wafer. It represents God's, Jesus' body. And I want you to just hold it here right in front of you. Because in a minute, we're going to take it. But I'm going to ask you in a minute, not yet, to break it. And I want you to think of what area of your life you need a breakthrough in. Like, let's not go through the motions. Say, you know what? I want to stop watching pornography. I want to break through in my ability to forgive, love. I want to hunger and thirst to read my Bible, to pray. I want to know my spiritual gifts. I want a spiritual prayer language. Whatever it is, ask, and let's see what God does in your life. Amen? So let's pray. Lord, we just pray for breakthrough. Pray for deliverance. We pray for freedom. We pray for anointing. We pray for a supernatural encounter with the Spirit of God. So I pray as we take this bread, acknowledge that it is your body that's broken for us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Break it in half, then take it. Lord, thank you for your sinless blood that was shed for our sin. We take this acknowledging that we are forgiven, cleansed. And that we have peace with God. You're not mad at us. You're not angry with us. You love us. But we need to walk with you on your terms, not ours. So thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, church, I'm going to ask you for a favor. Okay, can I ask you for a favor? I need 10 more minutes from you. Okay? We're going to sing a song here, and I'm going to open the altar up to anybody who wants to come down for prayer, but it may just be symbolic. I'm walking out of my old life to my new life. I'm going to ask that you don't leave, but that you come down, and after we get everybody down here, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. But there's some stuff y'all been dealing with. You say, listen, I just want to, And the act of even walking down is the act of faith that God's going to honor. But you're saying, Lord, I'm coming to you. You say, if I knock, you're going to open the door. If I call to you, you're going to answer me. I want to come down. So we're going to sing a song, and I'm especially calling on the guys. I want to see some men come down here, and let's model to the young guys and the women what a man of God looks like. And come on down and say, listen, I want God. I need God. If you got your girl with you, bring her. If you're by yourself, just ask the person next to you, can you come down with me? You never know what will happen. Amen. So let's just sing the song. What song are we going to sing?
The Blood.
The Blood. I'm going to ask all y'all, please don't leave, because we want to give people freedom. I want to ask all y'all to stand up so you're halfway there. You're halfway there, okay? So come on down. Let's come on down even before the song starts. Just come out of your seat. Come on down. Yeah, there we go. Look at the flood. Come on. Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on, church. I'm backing up. I'm backing up. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Yes. Yes.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. The blood of Jesus.
Sing that again. I want all y'all to lift your hands. If you haven't heard me say this, this is an act of surrender. When the police point a gun at you, you put your hands up, you say, I surrender. You're also telling God, the police, I am not a danger to you. But when we lift our hands up, we are telling the devil, I am a danger to you. So let's sing that one more song. And if you get tired, just switch them out, okay?
Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, and your name, it stands above them all.
Come on, church, lift your voice.
And all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name, it stands above them all. We believe that your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name always stands above them all. And all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name always stands above them all. And the angels cry.
You sing it out.
And all creation cries, you are lifted high, holy forever.
One more time, I'd love to hear y'all sing. Oh gosh.
Yeah.
Holy is to the King of Kings. Oh, and you will always be. Holy forever.
Okay, what I want you to do is I just want to shake your arms out because I know they're probably tired. Because we're getting ready to do one more exercise. Shake them out, shake them out, shake them out. Okay, put your arms up. I want you to think about your arms being like a funnel. You can move your fingers. Think about an arm being a funnel. I just want you to praise me. Say, dear God, pour your Holy Spirit out on me. No, I'm sorry. Pour your Holy Spirit out on me. Fill me, God. Come upon me, God. Anoint my life. Give me spiritual gifts. I'm sorry, show me my spiritual gifts. Give me courage. Give me opportunity to share my faith. I submit my body. I submit every cell in my body. I submit my muscles. I submit my mind. I submit my eyes. I submit my ears. Purify my tongue. Guide my steps. Fill my heart. Empower my life. Open my eyes. Teach me your word. Give me a hunger to pray. A hunger to study. Love for my enemies. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on, church. All week I was waiting for y'all, just to be with y'all. I love y'all. I love this service. This service is very different than the rest. This is the service that got all the heathens in it. No, I'm kidding. This is not the church folk. Y'all are like, we just came off the street, okay? We had to sleep in this morning because we were out last night. This is my favorite service. Y'all always have the biggest altar calls. And y'all always But I want to tell you, pray for me. I'm good. God has been, I think I might have told you this story. About a month ago, Deion Sanders had bladder surgery. And this is all public knowledge. They had to rebuild his bladder. He sleeps with Depends. Again, this is all public knowledge. They have a bathroom on the sideline. His whole life has changed. And he was at a press conference like a month ago, sitting next to his surgeon. And he had his glasses on, his cowboy hat, and he crying said, "You guys have no idea how good God is." He says, this is what he said, "I depend on Depends." This is Deion Sanders. If you don't know him from his previous life, he's one of the greatest athletes ever to live on the planet. He says, "You have no idea how good God is." And I have had more negative than all my life combined in the last 7 days. And you don't know how good God is. That's my statement to you. And God's like, "I got you." Now, it does not mean, listen, I can't speak for them. All I got to do is control what I do. And all I'm saying to you is as you're in all this and not related to us necessarily, just drama, period, stay focused on Jesus. As long as you can go to bed and God can say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," you responded, "That's what I wanted you to do," then you're good. Then you're good. You just keep that your focus for the rest of your life, and your life will be very, very much at peace. You can't please everybody. You just gotta please God. And even when you make that mistake, God's gonna like, "Okay, come back over here. Okay, cool. Okay, cool." Lord, I just pray for these wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people standing in front of me. I pray you bless them. I pray that next week they would bring 5 people with them. And I pray as they deal with drama and accusation and for whatever reason that they would look those people in the eye and say, "God loves you. God loves you. And God is good." May we be a light on a hill. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Pastor, this week there was a lot of stuff, and there was a lot of times where you had to encourage yourself in the Lord, and as you've ministered to our church today, I thought it'd be great if we just take 30 seconds, and if you would open up your own mouth so he can hear your prayer and pray for him. Just write down. Let's go ahead and do that. Begin to pray for our pastor. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for Pastor Miles. We thank you for his life. We thank you for his leadership in our church. We thank you for Debbie and their family, the kids, his grandchildren. We thank you for the over 25 years of faithfulness in serving the Rock Church and leading as our visionary, as our prophetic voice, speaking from your word. And Lord, we rebuke the devil and all the attacks that come against him, all the demonic assignments. We pray you send warring angels to confuse him in every which way. We thank you for his future. We thank you that the ministry that has been done in San Diego, there's more to come. And so we thank you that better days are ahead. And we just pray a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit power right now. Holy Spirit, fire, fill him right now. And may the thousands of prayers that are coming out right now, may you hear it, Lord, and fill him fresh today. Touch him from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. May he rest good tonight, knowing that he has been faithful in his service to you and to your church. He has honored Jesus above every other name, and he has shepherded your people well. So we thank you for our pastor. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.